Hello everyone, this is Anke Menzler, your host for Breakthrough the Glass Ceiling. Our special guest today is Scott Asai, and we'll be talking about the magic of soft skills, the impact soft skills have to your professional success and of course to your personal life. But before we dive into this, I want to give you an idea about who Scott is. Let me introduce him quickly. He's a professional speaker specializing in teaching soft skills, and he focuses on improving communication, leadership, and emotional intelligence. And he has a real practical style about how he provides information to his audience and gives strategies that you can really implement right away. And his experience includes a BA in psychology. He also has a master's in organizational leadership and is certified professional coach and a strength coach, also certified, of course. And this is something why we have him as well here, is he's a TEDx speaker. In his free time, Scott enjoys spending time with his wife and the two kids, working out and playing sports. And now let me say hello to Scott. Hello, Scott, and welcome to Breakthrough the Glass Ceiling. So happy to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Anke. I'm excited about today, and I'm hoping that what I have to say is going to help people who are listening.
Oh, I'm sure it will, definitely. But before we dive in really into the whole topic of soft skills and why this is important and what impacts this has, I would love you to share a bit about your story, the background, why you got into coaching, and also how come you are a full-time speaker today?
Sure. So I think, you know, early on in my life, I knew I wanted to be a business owner. I think because both my parents were at one point, and I just had an itch to be my own boss. And so my first job out of college was a youth director at a church, and I enjoyed it, but it wasn't something I knew I was going to do for a long time. So I took advantage of the flexibility I had in my schedule, and I went back to school to get a master's in organizational leadership, because that had always been a hobby to me. So I, at the time, hired a coach, and he worked with me for a couple of years, and I liked it so much that I really asked him, how do you do this? And there was no real clear way. So he told me, you just need to sort of pick a niche and then figure out how to get people to pay you. Mm-hmm. So I looked back at my career and realized when I was in high school and college, I had no idea what I wanted to do. So because I was working with youth, I thought the natural thing for me to do was to help them figure out what they wanted to do in terms of career direction. So I did that for a year or two, and then I transitioned more into executive coaching. And my spin was really working with the millennial generation and sort of helping the emerging leaders at companies. And I would work with them, you know, for an hour or so once a week. And we would really work on things like communication, professionalism, follow-up, you know, public speaking, things like that. It wasn't until about maybe 5 or 6 years ago that I really got into speaking. And it was really, I had done it all my life kind of reluctantly. You know, if I could dodge speaking, I would, because it wasn't something I really enjoyed. And I think what I realized was at a certain point, the reason why I wasn't performing well is because in my mind, I had these negative self-talk going on. And so what I really had to do before I worked on the skill part was to really shift my mindset from, I think what I used to be saying to myself was, speaking is not my thing. And I had to transition that into, I want to be a great speaker. And I think that's really where it started. And from there, I was able to sort of study my craft, you know, watch TED Talks, record myself, watch it. People really don't like to get visual feedback on what they do. And I still don't really like to watch my recordings, but I do because I want to get better. And, you know, I like to say that overall, in terms of speaking now, I really took something that was a perceived weakness for myself for a large part of my life and turned it into a strength. So if you would have asked me a decade ago if I would have been, you know, a speaker these days, I would say, you know, 100% no. But, you know, life takes you different directions. And I think I've always been the type of person who loves to rise to the challenge and try things. And I'm not that afraid of failing, because I feel like when you fail, you learn. And so I'm on this journey, and now I primarily talk about soft skills to tech companies. And I really focus on helping managers become great.
Oh, Wow. You are speaking about topics. I think we could talk for hours about public speaking and how you built the craft itself, because making something that you were afraid of into something that you master, it takes a while. And I think there's a lot to learn in that. But we were discussing this before, and we said, okay, let's focus on the soft skills. And I think a lot of people might think that soft skills is only communication or leadership skills. But can you give our audience a quick fill in about what soft skills is for you?
Sure. So I believe overall, I think an easy definition for soft skills is the ability to interact effectively with people. So anytime you're in a situation where you're not working with robots or you're not working with AI or automation, right, you're talking to people. Yeah. And there are a lot of jobs nowadays where maybe you're working, you know, primarily remote and you're not really interacting with people. But what I notice is as you sort of climb the corporate ladder or you want to get promoted, you want to go to management, you want to be an executive, you want to be an entrepreneur, you have to interact with people. And I think the earlier in life you can sort of get better and master these soft skills, the better chances you have to sort of move up. Mm-hmm. And so I think the popular ones are leadership, emotional intelligence, communication, but things like adaptability, empathy, flexibility, public speaking, those are all types of soft skills. And so, you know, really anything that is very transferable in different industries. And, you know, it's really soft skills nowadays are really what separates us from being replaced, right? It's what makes us human. And so, you know, sometimes we over trivialize what soft skills are, but soft skills are essentially talking to people.
Interesting. One thing that you just mentioned was the remote work. And today, and we have been also conversing about this before, I know that remote working is so, that's how we work today. I think this is coming more and more because let's think about the last past 2 years and how we interacted, of course. And this is important to really develop the soft skills. So it has an impact on your career, on everything that you do. Like us communicating, you are in the US, me in Germany. So of course, we have to interact, but this has also the impact on your professional life. So and my burning question is, how did developing the soft skills and then going maybe into the public speaking impact your personal life and your professional life in terms of the outside world? How have you been perceived and what did it do to you?
Well, I think if you go back to my story, you know, I would definitely categorize myself as an introvert. So mm-hmm. I definitely prefer to have one-on-one conversations. I like to have, you know, hang out in small groups. I have some of, you know, my closest friends are the ones I've had since high school. You know, they're like my groomsmen in my wedding. So mm-hmm. I think that it's safe to say that, you know, I'm energized by having, you know, one-on-one conversations and smaller groups, and I can do the extroverted stuff, but I definitely get tired afterwards. So I think where the soft skills come in handy is that, you know, what I realize is I have a good friend who was a motivational speaker when I was in college, and I never understood sort of what made him tick. And he actually told me that one thing that is a misnomer about extroverts is that they actually get uncomfortable having one-on-one conversations. They actually prefer to be in big groups and talk and sort of always be doing things. And I noticed that about him over time, not until after he mentioned it, then I started to become a little bit more aware of it. Whereas for me, when I speak, you know, I understand, especially in a virtual world, you have to bring a lot of energy and passion to whatever it is you talk about. So I only agree to talk about subjects that I feel, you know, really excited about, right? Because you could listen to a speaker who is, you know, has a great background, has all the accolades, but if they come off very monotone and boring, then the information is just lost, right? Whereas you could listen to someone who maybe is talking about a subject that you really don't care about, but if they talk with a lot of passion, it's almost as if the energy is screaming through the screen. So, you know, I've realized that over the past couple of years. And I think, you know, when everything shut down a couple of years ago, I was really missing doing things in person. But over time, I realized that actually virtual speaking or virtual presenting is actually a different skill set. And it's something you have to get used to. And I think that for those of you who are in your careers where you're working remotely or you're going to get video interviews or things like that, it's a medium that you're going to have to actually get better at, because it really is going to be the future moving forward.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And what I like about your story is you telling that you're an introvert and you decided to master a public skill. So public speaking, meaning the extra version of you somehow, and really getting into this. And I like what you said about your friend who is an extrovert, and you don't have to be confident to speak, but you can grow this, you can really learn this. So about your confidence, how, and you mentioned before you are raising the bar for yourself, really getting into something when you wanted to master something like public speaking, and you did, of course. So what is something about your confidence that you can say was a kind of step-by-step progression or development?
Yeah, I would say overall, I'm a pretty confident person. So that was, you know, already working for me. I think with speaking, I sort of looked at it as an Achilles heel for myself. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I realized, you know, when I was younger, I would do it, but I would get nervous. Maybe I would stutter. I just wouldn't be very confident, right? Mm-hmm. So when I talk about the mindset shift, that was sort of the trigger point. But I think after that, as I started to do it, I really believe that with most soft skills, and public speaking being one of them, you only get better at it if you actually do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you yeah. cannot simulate it. You cannot just read about it. There's enough content in the world where shortage of information is not an issue, right? But the application piece, taking initiative, is something that people tend to struggle with, right? Mm-hmm. And so they think about it and they, oh, I don't want to try it. It's too hard, right? So for me, my attitude was, you know, the only way I'm going to learn is sort of throw myself in the fire. So I just started to volunteer and speak. And I think at first I wasn't that comfortable with it. And I started to get more and more comfortable with it. And I think it's, you know, in sort of fitness terms, it's, you need to get your reps in. You need to keep doing it. You need to, you know, yeah. show up and force yourself to put yourself in those situations, right? Absolutely. And so I think over time, there wasn't necessarily a moment where I was like, oh, all of a sudden I'm confident, you know. But I will say that just to wrap things up, a quick story is, back in 2019, I had this idea of, if I want to be a credible speaker, I need to do a TED Talk. And that was sort of my goal for the year. And so what I did, and this is sort of me kind of being the risk taker, is I put on my LinkedIn profile, aspiring TEDx speaker. And Ooh. that forced me to put my money where my mouth was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I started to apply. I applied to maybe about 25 different events, and I started to get feedback. I started to get rejections. I got interviewed a couple times. They sort of helped shape my message. And, you know, it was kind of a scary point. I want to say like 6 months out, because people were asking me, oh, when's your talk? When's your talk? And I'm like, I didn't get one yet, you know? And so I was starting to doubt myself to a degree. But fortunately, towards the end of the year, I did get accepted. And then in 2020, I got to fly my family to Hawaii and I did the TED Talk there, which was really, really oh, wow. a nice experience. Yeah. And I was very fortunate because I actually got my recording literally days before everything shut down. So I have that as my reel at this point. And so when people ask me, what did you gain from the experience? You know, it's not as smooth as it looks on camera. There are technical issues. There are mistakes that are made. There are, you know, just a lot of things that can go wrong. But I think when I look back at it, my goal for doing a talk was really to prove to myself I could do it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for the money. It wasn't for the title. It wasn't for, you know, anything, anyone else. It was for me. And so when people asked me, like, what did you get out of it? I said, I just proved to myself I could do it. And of course, since then, my confidence has grown, you know, and I think that's sort of what people see me as. But really, it was more of a challenge to myself. And that would be my message to all of you, is that, you know, if you want to achieve maybe a place that you haven't been before, you have to start and you have to keep on challenging yourself and pushing yourself. If you're waiting for someone else to do that for you, it's probably not going to happen. So you need to learn to be self-motivated and put yourself in uncomfortable situations. And really, that's how you grow.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes. And you mentioned working out is nothing less than this, putting yourself into the uncomfortable situation. I have to get up to get running or anything like that. And that's the same with speaking. And I don't know if someone just recognized what you did. And I want to highlight this because I think this is really important, is the aspiring TEDx speaker. This is something you have to put your mind and you have to really decide you are going to do this and portray the future you. So if you don't have that vision of you, you might not get it done. You might not get up to run. You might not get up to speak and send your application to the TEDx speak or whatever. So this is a crucial point where you really have to set your focus on, okay, I'm going to make this no matter what. And of course, yes, failure is a part of success. And wow, this is wow. So inspiring. Thank you for so much for sharing that. And a lot of women are listening today. And I think public speaking could be something that is really intimidating for them. So what would you recommend maybe for women? And I don't want to label this because a lot of people have the inconfidence, but also for women, they don't tend to speak up in meetings and all of that. So what could be a first simple step that you think they could do to get more confident and then speak and find their voice?
I think it's really important to try, and you have to put yourself out there. You know, if you think about working, like, say, in a corporate job, a lot of times, sometimes we have been untruthfully taught that we do our work, we work hard, and we sort of go home, right? Mm-hmm. But if you don't give people a reason to look at you, they're not going to look at you. Mm-hmm. I'm not fully saying that you need to be, you know, play the political game. To some degree, you do. But what I am saying is that you need to give people a reason to look at you. And that is going to be by stepping outside of what is comfortable to you, right? You have to be willing to try. And, you know, with any risk, there's the chance of failure. There's also the mm-hmm. chances for success, right? But if you don't do anything, there's no chance, right? Yeah. So I think, and I also think too, you know, over time, it's important to try different things and ask for feedback. And, you know, sometimes the way people see you is different than the way you see yourself. Right. And when we talk about branding, right, we think about products and we think about companies, but their personal branding is really the emotional connection that people have with us. And what's interesting about that concept is the fact that a lot of times the brand is not determined by us. It's determined by other people.
Oh, yes.
And when we get very intentional about making sure that what people think of us and what we're portraying is accurate, then our brand becomes stronger, right? So as an example, you know, as a speaker, I'm not going to appeal to everybody, and I'm okay with that, you know? But if people ask me what my style is, I'm going to say it's brief, conversational, and practical. Mm-hmm. So if you hire me and that's the style that you want, I can deliver on that. But if you want someone to be, you know, very theoretical, maybe, you know, analytical, like, that's just not me, right? So I think part of finding your voice is really narrowing it down. You know, we talked about niche and stuff like that. Yeah. And being okay with realizing that you're not going to appeal to everybody. And understand that, you know, if we look at this as a business or a product, right, because that's really essentially what we are in a lot of ways in our career, that when something is launched, it doesn't appeal to the masses. There are a couple of things that do, but for the most part, right, what is your target audience? Who do you want to speak to? Who is this message for, right? Just like this conference that you're having right now, right? It's geared towards women, you know? So you're going to pick certain topics and certain speakers that are going to appeal to that audience, right? It may not appeal to a different type of audience, but that's okay because, you know, you want to be sort of relatable and you want to be the person who is going to be able to connect with mm-hmm. the people that you want to connect with. Absolutely. And if you don't connect with other people, that's okay. And I think we have to be okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. And we always think about what could other people think, but they will think something anyways. So you get labeled, you get branded, you get you get all of that. Why not just try and be maybe labeled like you want to? Yes, because you, if you don't try, the no you already have, but you could also get a yes, and maybe not only the yes, but really the success in it. Oh, yes. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that, Scott. And for our listeners who want to stay in touch with you, I know you have an incredible gift for them. So can you share a bit what that is?
Yeah, sure. So I know Anke and the rest of the team are going to send you guys a link to it, but one thing on my side I have is I have a couple of online courses. And one assessment that I've always been very passionate about is this one called the Strengths Finder. I believe it's called the Clifton Strengths now. It's the same test though. Mm-hmm. But it's essentially an online test you could take. It takes about 30 to 40 minutes. It asks you a bunch of different questions and you answer them. And what you get back is you get your top five strengths. Mm-hmm. And why that's important is because as leaders, as people who want to, be ambitious in their careers, right? You need to be able to answer the question, why should I hire you? Right.
Yeah.
And when you're selling yourself, if you cannot answer that question, people have a hard time employing you. Right. Mm-hmm. And to me, the best way to answer that question is to answer it with at least one or two of your strengths and past examples of when you've used that in a work setting. And so what the Strengths Finder does is essentially going to put into words what you already know about yourself. When you take the test, you shouldn't be surprised by the results because you're the one who took it. Unless you cheat, you should get the answers that you believe you have. So once you get those things, the challenge what I found is I took it about 15, 16 years ago. The challenge I found is that when you get results to an assessment, right, any type of psychological assessment, most of the time you do agree with the results. The problem is what do you do next, right? Oh. So I created a course that is called Strengths Finder, Now What? So you would have to take the assessment, which is $20 in US currency. It's very cheap. It's well worth your professional development investments. But when you get those top five results, then the situation is, how do I apply those things, right? And I can say from experience that on a daily basis, I utilize those five. So if you ask me at the end of the day, how did I use my strengths, I could tell you. And it's not because I intentionally try to. It's because it's become such a part of me. Yeah. In a way, you know, I only speak English, but my second language would be StrengthsFinder. In a lot of ways, that's my bilingual. I would just encourage you all to look at that. I would challenge you first to actually take the assessment. I actually have a free course on there too that says, why should I take the StrengthsFinder? So if you're not convinced that you should take it, you can take that course first. But my gift to you is, after you take the assessment, that this will walk you through and help you understand what steps are needed to actually leverage those things. Because the difference between having a natural talent at something and having a strength is developing those over time through practice, right? So my hope is that you, number one, will take the Strengths Finder. And then after that, you will take the course that'll help you apply it to personal and professional situations.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Perfect. This is amazing. And I love your second language. That's cool. I should have introduced you with the second language. But now this is another thing for, I think, another topic and for another time. And thank you so much. This is a wow gift, I think. And thank you for sharing that. And we'll be sharing the link to the gift below in the show notes. And of course, everyone can grab it there. And Scott, thank you so much for being our special guest today. It was a pleasure speaking to you and learning about all of that, what it takes to be a speaker, how you set your mind up and how you get into all of that. And the essence of it really is your mind taking you there and having the strength, because you can label yourself, of course, but why not getting the right label that you want from others? And this is wow. Thank you so much. I'm so filled in and everywhere goosebumps. This is perfect. I love it. Thank you. And to our listeners, more sessions will be delivered to your inbox tomorrow. I look forward to joining you in our next session. Until then, don't forget that changes need chances. So give yourself a chance to rise into your power and embody your true self. It's your time to shine.